Welcome to Ministry Focus with Pastor Chad Nall, where we talk real and we live Jesus. I'm your co-host, Brian Foster, and we are just excited to have y'all a part of our podcast today. And we're extremely excited about our special guest who I'll introduce to each and every one of you here in just a few moments. But as always, I'd like to welcome our pastoral panel. Of course, our host for Ministry Focus, Pastor Chad Nall. Good evening, Pastor. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Excited about today's podcast. Looking forward to digging right in, Brother Brian. So glad to be here and looking forward to our content tonight.
Amen. And also we have Pastor Jamie Crisman with us. Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. Glad to see y'all. Glad to be here.
Amen. And of course, Pastor Joe Carpenter is with us as well. Pastor Joe, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Hello to everyone out there listening.
Amen. So we are excited for our special guest. He has become a dear brother to each and every one of us here at this table. And of course, our guest this week should be no stranger to most of our listeners out here on Ministry Focus. He serves as the senior pastor of Beulah Baptist Church of Bennett, North Carolina, and he is also running to be our next representative to the North Carolina State Legislature in Raleigh. Of course, we are pleased to welcome Dr. Neil Jackson to the Ministry Focus podcast. Dr. Neil, welcome.
Hey, thank you. It's an honor to be on the podcast. Appreciate what y'all are doing for the kingdom, and I'm just good to be on with you guys.
Amen. Of course, like I say, you've become a dear brother to each and every one of us, and we're just excited to have you here with us, especially in the waning days of the campaign, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But to start off our podcast, Dr. Neil, I just wanted to pose this question to you. When I first met you, I met you as Dr. Neil Jackson, the pastor at Beulah Baptist Church. Most people know you from that title. Also, you've been a financial planner, and most people know you from that genre. But, and also they know you as a candidate now for the state legislature. But most people probably don't know who Neil Jackson the person is. Who is Neil Jackson?
I would say I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
I would say all that you need to know is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he must increase and I must decrease. And that sounds like a pat answer, but the less you know about Neil Jackson, and the more you know about Jesus Christ,
amen.
I've won.
Amen.
And,
amen.
That's
amen.
Not a, amen. A deflection. That's what the scripture tells me to do.
And you know, that is a wonderful answer.
So I'm a father of five. Nobody taught me how to do that in politics.
Not yet, anyway.
That's just who I am. I'm a father of five. Tracy and I have been married for, 28 years almost in December. And we have five kids, Davis 27 and Torius 23. And Reagan's 21, and then the boys, Aiden and Hayden, are 12. Now they turn 13 Friday.
Wow.
And wow.
So, we have 35 Black Angus cows. We have two dogs, and
that's the family.
That's the family.
That's the family.
The follow-up to that would probably be, I know you wear many hats, Doc, and how I know you're firmly grounded in your faith. And I'm sure, especially now more than ever with the hats that you wear, you really lean upon the Lord even more now than probably at any point in your life with all that you've got going on in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some people are just gifted different ways. And, I would say maybe I have some apostle missionary qualities where I'm a starter. I'm an entrepreneur and I like starting new things. And so, doesn't mean that I abandon things that once I start it, but, I delegate. And so I want somebody else to continue on operating things. I'm better at getting them out of the ground. And so it fires me up to start a children's home or to go and revitalize a church like we're doing down in Sanford, some of those new opportunities, starting a radio station, some of those things.
Sounds to me like you're a visionary, brother.
I don't know. God gives me a burden and a vision, and I see opportunities, and that's how the whole political thing came about.
Right.
I didn't seek politics. I just see there are needs in Randolph and Moore counties, and just began praying about possibilities, developing a relationship with Alan McNeil. Alan McNeil has served in this seat for 10 years and has done a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
But there are huge issues coming down the pike, and we've been praying about this for several years. So that December day when Alan reached out and said, hey, I'm not going to seek reelection, I called Tracy. I said, hey, Tracy, all I said, Alan McNeil's not running for reelection. Thinking she's going to say, no way, don't you even think about it. And her response was, and that's all I said, Alan McNeil's, I called her, I'm driving back from the Cove, Alan McNeil's not running for reelection. And she said, when are you filing? Because we already been praying about it.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just ministry. It's serving our community. And mm-hmm. That's what Jesus did.
Amen.
Acts 13, Amen. He went about doing good.
That's what he did.
And it's just another opportunity to serve our community and show Jesus. And that's what we're about. That's what Amen. Y'all are about.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not, I think that the, you know, your calling's not different. It's just in a different direction, mm-hmm. right? I think that's one thing that we forget about. We so many times we think, I'm sure you've had this question. Well, how in the world are you going to manage being a pastor and doing this? And how are you going to be able to do all those things? If God's called you to it, man, he's going to give you what you need to get through it, right? I think that's the biggest that's the biggest thing that we as pastors see. I can speak from that experience that, you know, we wear many hats already. So it's just one more hat to put on. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's alien. You know, I see it as an opportunity for change. I mean, that's what we need. I mean, we look at our local community and we need change. We look at our state and my goodness, brother, we need change. And if men of God would stand up and say, hey, you know what? I want to be part of that change and I'm willing to endure the cost because there is a cost, in order for you to take on this role, in order for you to pursue this candidacy, it takes time away from family. It takes time away from church. It takes time away from many other things. And I'm sure you don't have a minute to breathe. And that comes at a cost. Because the man, Neil Jackson, still needs rest. He still needs to be able to focus on what's important. And so there's a great sacrifice that comes with that. But I know that God's going to get you through that because I believe there's such a time as this, right? As Esther would say, and I think now's the time for change. I think we can't let it keep going in the direction it's going or there's not going to be anything for us to come back to before long. I think we're in a bad situation.
Without a doubt. And I wouldn't dictate my calling. And this is, for me, it was a calling, mm-hmm. without a doubt. And so I wouldn't dictate my calling on every pastor or any other pastor.
Right.
But for me, it was. God didn't call Nehemiah or everybody else to do Nehemiah's calling. But because Nehemiah was in the room, he was able to save his people. And I just... It was before Roe versus Wade was overturned,
right,
that God gave me the calling. But because God gave me the calling, I'm going to be able to influence the legislation that North Carolina is going to have. And hopefully we're going to get some pretty good pro-life legislation.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Love
it.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we want. That's what Absolutely. We're looking for, right?
I'm reminded of something that you said. I was actually watching one of your addresses, and you said it was very, very – very simple, but very profound. Politics and the pastorate both help people. So at the end of the day, this is just a new mechanism for ministry to grow, to outreach more. And you still have the same burden for the same lost. And you shared with us that you've been able to affect more of the lost, which is the initial calling for all pastors anyway.
Honestly, I love the opportunities that God has given me. I'll talk about crime. I'll talk about education. I'll talk about healthcare, and I'm doing that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, we in that conversation,
they're going to
get around to Jesus.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So I've never had so many meals at Pinehurst Country Club as I've had in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, Jesus is going to be on the menu.
At the table.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love it.
Amen. And that kind of ties into where we wanted to go next is, as far as ministry and politics go, I remember we talked last year, and I'll never forget it. I was getting ready for the Carthage Christmas Parade, and you called, and we was talking, and he said, and you said, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to run for the state legislature." And I was generally excited for you, and I was like, "Brother, I couldn't think of a better person to run for this than you." But then I got off the phone and I started thinking, "What in the world is he thinking?" Because you're a minister of the gospel, and you going into the devil's den is what I in politics. So to kind of lead us off into the next topic with ministry, the ministry you have, and going into the realm of politics, how do you see those things coexisting right now in your life?
Great question. In my opinion, and Pastor Chad, you're much wiser than I, so you speak into this. One of the problems of society, Christians have abandoned the public square, and they've let crooked attorneys take over the public square, and the Christians have abandoned it, and that's why it's so corrupt. And we as Christians have to go and reclaim this
Amen.
This public arena politics for the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at our founding fathers. So many of them were pastors.
That's right.
I'm not saying every pastor is to be in politics. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying any pastor is to be in politics. What I know right now, I think a pastor would be nuts to go into politics. I just know that I'm supposed to go into politics.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm supposed to be in politics for 20 years or 10 years. I just know I'm supposed to run right now. That's all I'm supposed to say. I'm not anybody Amen. Else's Holy Spirit. I just know I'm supposed to go and I'm supposed to stand.
Yeah.
But pastors got to start speaking up.
Yeah.
These issues, the abortion issue, it's black and white on
Amen.
Scripture,
yeah.
and they're not saying anything about
That's it. That's right.
Too many of them aren't. Some people are. Pastor Chad is, but too many of them aren't. The whole gender issue, I mean, Facebook says there's 72 genders.
Oh, my
Scripture
goodness.
Says there's two.
Right.
Why mm-hmm. aren't pastors speaking about this issue? The whole critical race theory? Pardon
yeah.
me. The Southern Baptist Convention has gone stark mad crazy on this issue.
Yeah.
The, mm-hmm. the whole wokeism, I yep. mean, it's non-biblical. It's,
right.
it's whacked out. And the churches are buying into this stuff. And so the politicians, I can understand them having no backbone. I don't understand pastors not having
Amen.
Backbone.
Right.
I mean, pastors should have backbone.
Absolutely.
So if the pastors would start having backbone, then their church members would start having backbone,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe the politicians would start having some backbone.
Right, right.
And
right.
Then if the pastors would start having backbone, their church members would just start standing up and getting into the public square.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It is so backwards. You know, and listen, I don't want to condemn any other pastors, but I will say this. There's a bunch of hirelings in the pulpits. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there because they really are, and so therefore they are cowering based on their paycheck and not standing up and talk about what the scriptures say. They're not exhorting the people to do more. They're just trying to get through another week, and it's really sad to see it happening. I mean, I almost feel like the mentality is we have to accept the lifestyle. We have to accept whatever's going on in this woke world, this cultural decline that we're in. We have to accept that in order to tell people about Jesus. And that is the absolute lie from the devil, because that is not the case. They are looking for truth. And the only truth that we can find is the Word of God. That is absolute truth. And what I'm finding and what I'm seeing is this younger generation that's coming up is looking for some genuine truth. And they're coming. And when you tell them the truth, whether it hurts their feelings or not, man, they're latching on to it. And so our hope is not this generation. Our hope is the next generation. And therefore, if we're going to make change and make a state, the state of North Carolina be here for them, then we as Christians have to get into this public square. We have to say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm not going to agree with this, and I'm going to take it to the poll. I'm going to vote this way. I'm not going to vote my pocketbook. I'm not going to vote what I think. I'm going to vote biblical values. And you know what? Just because, you know, so many people might say, I remember when Donald Trump was running, and don't get me wrong, I don't agree with everything Donald Trump did. But I think that when it comes to the principles of what our country stands on, I think that he had that in mind. And I think that, folks didn't like that. They didn't like him. And so therefore, they didn't like him so much that they really put all this emphasis on his character and his person and not his policies and not his principles. And I think we've gotten so outside the lines that it's hard to get back inside those lines and make a picture again. Right. And so I think it's men like you. And I think there's men like, that are stepping up, that's getting into this arena, that's saying, you know what? Hey, it's time for us to do something. And I think I'm going to be the first one to tell you, and maybe you haven't seen it because it's from a different angle or different point of view, but I'm encouraged by you running. I mean, I'm encouraged. Yes. Why? Because I can stand and say, you know what? I'm going to support that. Right. And so, you know, hey, listen, if there's something we need to talk about and there needs to be something that my church needs to hear about, I need to know about it. And I trust you. And therefore, I want to hear it from you so that I can make sure that I'm giving them the truth. And therefore, I don't mind standing up and saying what I need to say to my people in Faith Baptist Church. And you know what? I've seen my people have reacted to it. Hey, they were asking me this week. So when is the, hey, we need the ballots. Who are we supposed to be voting for on these judges? They're activated, man. They're getting in this. And so, you know, it's important that they know these issues and they understand it. But it's time for us to get involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's transition. Let's talk about, so that being said, he talked about how that is for you, but now let's talk about, as we transition into the next phase here, let's think about it this way. And we kind of touched on it somewhat, but how does the church and how does politics find common ground? Because everything is so polarized. It's either right or left. It's red or blue. It's either woke or conservative. The fun term progressive now that's found its way in the middle. How do we find common ground where the church and politics can work together for the greater good? How do we do that? Or is it even possible?
Well, I think if the church would get involved in this arena, I don't mean this in a bad way, and I don't mean anybody that's listening that's not a non-church person. I think the church could take over the arena. Right. Just because there is such a vacuum for good quality people. Hmm. And if, especially young people, I'm encouraging my young people, the young Republicans.
Yeah.
I mean, if some of our youth and our college, our singles, if they would come in here, there is a pipeline for leadership. If they would just come into this arena,
right.
They could be the leaders of tomorrow.
Right.
They're just looking for bodies that can think. I mean, literally. and so we really need to have in the church, they're moral people, they are ethical people, and so many people in the world, they're not.
Mm.
And so meeting with Michael Whatley last week, meeting with Michael Whatley this past weekend, and he said, Neil, we want more church people in politics.
Mm.
This is chairman of the Republican Party.
Right.
And I said, why? He said, because they're honest, because they're moral, because they don't have skeletons in their closet.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. And he said, Neil, we want more pastors in politics. Mm. I said, really? He said, they can communicate. He said, they have hearts for all people, not right. just they're not just trying to get to the rich people. He said they can raise money. And he said, when you're in politics, you got to raise money. And he says, we want more pastors involved. And I was like, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Amen. And having said that, I know we were kind of talking before we started the broadcast. The opportunities that God has granted you during this campaign to share the gospel. Yes, you get to share your platform, and you get to share the issues that are passionate, that you're passionate about, but you also get to talk about the gospel, the kingdom. How important is that in the realm of your campaign so far that you've had the opportunities to witness to lost people?
Let me back up for a second. Yeah. Come back to me. Don't let me skip your question. Let me back up to Chad. Pulling things together. So they've been letting me this summer go up to when they were in session with Alan McNeil. Our race looks good, so they've been letting me go up there and just build relationships. So I've been going to the members-only dining room where the legislators go. And I noticed all the Republicans sit on this side and all the Democrats sit on this side of the members only dining hall. And I asked, I was like, what's up with that? And they said, oh, this is the Republican unofficially. This is where the Republicans sit. And that's the Democrat. That's where the Democrats sit. And I was like, well, what's up with that?
Yeah.
And they said, this is where the Republicans, and I said, I get that. I was like, what happens if I sit with the Democrats? I said, because my philosophy is they all need Jesus. And are they going to have a problem with me sitting with the Democrats? And they said, probably not. They'll just raise some eyebrows. And I was like, okay. And that's me.
Right.
We got to get stuff done. And I probably will be the most conservative as any of them up there. But I'm going to talk to all of them up there because I got a bigger issue than just passing legislation. So I want to pass legislation, but the biggest legislation that I want to pass has already been passed. It was passed on an overrun.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen.
So
come
on. You're never going to get that done unless you got a relationship.
Amen.
And so I got to build a relationship so that I can talk to them about the issue I'm up there. So the whole And the other thing is, 70% of the legislation that passes up there is unanimous. So they don't, I mean, 30% of it is very contentious. So a lot of it, they don't even make deal about that. So, back to your question.
So wait a minute, let me interject there for just a second. So make sure I don't want to put words in your mouth. So what I'm hearing is that common ground is Jesus. Right. It's the gospel. It is what the cross is a plus sign, right? It's not a subtract sign. And so in order to find common ground between the Republicans and the Democrats, we got to find something that hopefully the majority believe. Right. And I would hope that be the Bible. I would hope that be Jesus. Right. And I feel like that's what's missing there, though.
Absolutely. And I think the more the church comes into the public square and finds these issues and the church steps up to these issues, whatever the issues are. I mean, for us, we've stepped up to the foster care issue. It doesn't have to be foster care, whatever the issue is. Mm-hmm. The church comes into the issue. I'll raise it up. I'll say, hey, guys, we got a poverty issue. Or, hey, guys, we got this issue. I'll bring it up and Faith Baptist takes care of this, and Shining Light's taking care of this, and First Baptist taking care of this. Then the church is doing our job.
Right.
We are taking Jesus and meeting the need.
Amen.
And I think
that's the disconnect. That is the disconnect, because so many folks are just worried about the inside of the walls of the church. They're not getting out anymore into the highways and byways. They're not going into the hedges, right? They're really, you know, that they're really so consumed with just that their internal ministry that they're not reaching outside those walls to make that difference. So that's an interesting point, because how do we as pastors, right, get into a place to where we can connect on what the issues are that we as pastors should be addressing with our people. What is a way we can do that?
Well, I think y'all are doing it well. I think you need a missionary. I think you need a missionary that will go to the board meeting, boring county commissioner meeting, and just sit and take notes and
That's
find
good.
Something that we can take care of. We can get involved in this issue here in our county. Now, y'all are already doing this with Shannon. So if Shannon's on the school board, y'all are going to hear a lot of what's going on school board.
Absolutely.
Right? And so she's going to notify y'all of what's going on.
Well,
so
we're heavily associated right now with knowing what's going on, but we're just getting started, right? My voice hasn't been heard yet. And so I want to see what this election looks like, who gets on that school board, because I think it's time for pastors to show up at these meetings. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for us to stand up for our kids to sit in the pews on Sunday. And so that's an important issue, but I love that. I think that's exactly what needs to take place. That's something that, I seen Joe taking notes in his head, Pastor Joe over there taking notes in his head. So, that's something that I think is a great idea.
And no, also not to let you off the hook, I'll have a representative from my office at every school board meeting and every county commission
good.
And every health department meeting.
Good.
So, as our friendship, if you wanted me to forward you the notes for that meeting,
love it.
Probably could work out a deal with you.
Absolutely.
But if you had your guy, he's going to be looking specifically for stuff related to your church,
right,
where my guy is going to be looking for stuff that I need to be aware of.
Right. We have a ministry that we're really pouring in right now. It's called Operation Reach More. And it's really an initiative for us this year. And so Operation Reach More is a play on words. It's more M-O-O-R-E, right? But at the end of the day, we want to get more involved in our community in a way that makes a difference in lives, not a difference in the look of our church, not add more people to our church. Hey, if that happens, that's great. But that's not the intent. The intent is to really connect with our people to connect with people in the community, to truly make a difference for the kingdom and for our community, right? And whether that's feeding them, whether that's preaching to them, whether that's worshiping with them, whether that's picking them up and bringing them to church, or just whatever it looks like, right? We're all in with this. And so it's a big deal that we connect. I don't care if they're Democrat. I don't care if they're Republican. They're a person in need. Then I don't care what their political view is, right? I just want them to get Jesus. And so, that's an interesting take on the missionary to those areas. I think that's something that we need to talk about more, gentlemen on the panel here.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I'm going to recede and let Brother Brian pick back up on the question and we can go forward.
Amen. Well, I'm just enjoying the conversation. I was sitting here thinking, Doc, about when you're talking about the importance of what the church meant in government. I think about David Barton, and I love to watch him and to listen to him. And I mean, there's never a time that I don't tune into him, and he doesn't explain the importance of what our country was built on and why the church was so important, especially in the early beginnings. And I think we have gone further away as a people from God, and that's why things are happening the way they are right now. If, and I believe strongly that you will be elected as our representative, and that's just my personal opinion, but when you get up into the legislature, you've already started planting seeds. You've already talked about that. How much, being just one person, how much can you influence your colleagues in the legislature? Have you thought about how you could influence to turn them back and make them more receptive to having church leadership or church members more involved in government?
So had lunch with a future representative. Looks like he's going to win out of Mecklenburg County, out of Charlotte area, Concord area yesterday.
Talked to three representatives today. Been trying to take out a representative every week ever since March. Building relationships. They're strong believers in the legislature. Mm. Not enough, but there are very, very, very strong believers. I think of Dennis Riddell, right where he votes, the button where you put to vote yes or no, underneath the glass he has right there. Would God be pleased with the vote that I'm about to make?
Oh, that's good.
Strong believer, yes. Loves the Lord Jesus Christ, not ashamed about it. There are numerous ones like that. But there are out-and-out God deniers. And then as far as both sides of the aisles, there are people that do not know the Lord and are not that are bold about it. So we need more people that are bold in their faith. I hope that I can show believers that this is safe waters. Come on out into the deep. And wait out. So I hope that they will follow. You look at Gideon. Once the 300 men had victory, the 9,700 that went home because they were afraid, they came back and fought.
That's right. Amen.
And all of the ones that were complacent, that didn't even come out to fight, they came back and they fought and had victory. But the 300 had to go out and do. God always uses a remnant.
That's right.
That's what I love about Faith Baptist. Yeah. If Faith Baptist, because a lot of the churches in Moore County, quite honestly, are afraid of politics. And if y'all will just, and a lot of the pastors are afraid of politics. If y'all will step up and say, we're not afraid, we will be bold for Christ, and we will step into this arena, some of these other churches will say, hey, if they can step into this arena and they can be bold.
I was talking to a pastor. I had lunch with him last week. Wonderful, wonderful man. And he's bold. He's ready. He's in the same boat, you know, and I think he's looking for, I mean, he's hitched, but I think it's like, okay, you know, what's next? Well, what do I need to do? I think that's where a lot of pastors are. They're really and truly, it's kind of like that question we ask ourselves, well, what can I do? What do I need to do? You know, I think that, I mean, we understand the issues. We see what's going on, but what can I do? You know, I think that's kind of the mentality. Well, I can't change anything. I can't, but we can. You know, we have influence over people every single Sunday. You know, if the hardest thing to run is a volunteer organization. If you can get people to do what needs to be done, and be happy doing it, then you have influence. Absolutely. And so I think that so many pastors discount their influence. But I think that's a good line of questioning. You know, what can be a fundamental step that you've seen that can make a difference for pastors to begin with? Not jumping all in on all fours because they're uncomfortable. They maybe, but you know, of course, prayer, I know, right? And making sure they encourage their people to register to vote and vote. That's huge. But as a pastor, what could be a fundamental step, maybe a first step to say, hey, I want my voice to be heard and I don't mind putting my feet in this game. Well, in your opinion, what's something that a pastor could do fundamentally to kind of get things started in that direction to be that next wave of support, so to speak?
So if I'm not running, this is what I do every election. Right now it's election season. I'm telling our people, I said it this past Sunday, I'll say it this Sunday. This is a crucial election. The Supreme Court, it doesn't matter if we get supermajority because of this abortion issue. Whatever the legislature passes, Cooper is going to veto. So we have to get supermajority.
Right.
We need you to go vote. But whatever the legislature passes, the Supreme Court is going to overturn.
Right.
So you have to go out and vote for these judges. So, I mean, it's perfect imperative. Point. Trey Allen and Richard Deitch, you got to go vote for those two. Now, I'm not going to say those two names, but in the back of the lobby, we have voter guides out there that will tell you how to vote.
Right.
So vote biblical values. You don't know what biblical values, you don't know who those are. There are guides back there. Now, we as a church, and I said it this past Sunday, I'll say it again this Sunday.
We as a church do not endorse candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I, Neil Jackson, very much do endorse candidates. If you want to know my picks, Rhonda Sessoms is sitting right there. That's my secretary.
Yeah.
She will tell you who I'm endorsing. And 3/4 of Beulah will say, hey, text me who he wants to be. Yeah. That's not the church's choice. That's my, and they're asking me for who I want to vote for. Yeah. I don't put it on Facebook because I don't want all of my friends to know that I didn't endorse them. But they ask Ron and they'll give them who I endorse. Yeah. So I tell pastors to encourage their people to vote biblical values.
Amen.
One. Secondly, they got to start speaking on these issues. If they was just that, and I'm expositional 90% of the time.
Yeah.
But still,
me too.
This stuff is in there. I don't go chasing rabbits. It's in there. The abortion is in there.
Yeah.
The gender issues are in there. All of this stuff is in there. Just speak on the issues and stop running away from the issues. Speak on the issues. And encourage your people to get involved in politics.
Right.
Pinehurst, the village council,
yeah,
they have elections coming up. Carthage has elections coming up.
Right.
Why aren't Christians running for this? We got to get people involved locally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
School board is going to run again in 2 years.
Yeah.
They are going to have open seats.
Yeah.
Why can't Faith put up another position
right
there? Imagine if two church members from Faith were on school board.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Well, you know what? You get me pumped up over here because that's how change happens, right?
That's right. Well, you're talking about influence. There it is. I mean, there it is. There are three very strong points right there that has influence no matter what the size of the church is, the church body is, that pastors can follow.
I love it. I think that the only way to have change is to be the change, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's not what you're doing today. But it is what you're doing today. But what you're doing today may not make an immediate impact. But if you keep doing what you're doing today every day, then eventually it will have a huge impact because the people that you minister to, the people that know you, the people you have influence with, will see your passion. I think that's half of it. I think the church has lost its passion. Listen, unfortunately, I think the church has lost its passion for ministry. It's lost its passion for mission. It's lost its passion for so many different areas. And I think COVID over the last couple of years has sucked a life out of it. And so, you know, we're trying to resuscitate something. And I think we're trying to resuscitate what it used to be. And it's never going to be what it used to be. It is what it is today. So we have to take it from what it is today and make it great again, right? And go to that next level. Every time we get the opportunity, we got to go to the next level. And I think it's the same way when it comes to politics, right? I think that a lot of folks don't run because they think, well, what am I going to do? But I think if they'll do it today and they'll do it tomorrow and the day on, so on and so forth, eventually it gets to a point to where now there's two or three doing it together. And that's what makes the impact. Like you said, hey, if we get one on the school board, imagine in 2 years we get two on the school board. Imagine in 6 years you got three or four on the school board, maybe not from the same church, but from the same community of believers. Dude, that could make a huge difference in what it looks like, you know, for our grandchildren, mm-hmm, coming up, you know what I mean? It makes
when
a huge
the
difference.
Righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
Amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm. When the wicked beareth rule, people mourn.
Mourn.
And people mourn. My eschatology, you guys have been talking about this, my eschatology says things are getting worse, and yep, they're going to continue to get worse.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, when things are getting worse until Jesus raptures us out, I want righteous people making decisions.
Absolutely. Amen.
Craziness going
absolutely
on.
Absolutely.
Right. Come Amen. On. Amen. That's right.
Well, we've talked a lot about ministry and politics, but I do want to delve just a little bit because I know your time is precious and we appreciate you coming and being a part of the podcast today, Dr. Neil. One of the things that struck me, and I've always kept up with you on Facebook, and of course you are your issues that you're campaigning on are pro-conservative, you're pro-life, pro-Second Amendment. But one of the things that really caught my eye recently, and I want you to talk about this, is there was a posting on your Facebook page that says how to deal with state taxes. And you very simply said eliminate it. Okay? So how do you eliminate state taxes?
Well, I did say eliminate state taxes. Eliminate the
income tax.
Income tax.
Income
tax. So if we were to eliminate it, they did this in Florida. I lived in Florida for 3 years. And so if you were to go to just a straight sales tax, we already have a sales tax in North Carolina. the Republicans really have already done that. If you look at where North Carolina was debt-wise in 2010, we were in horrible shape. We were $3 billion in debt to the federal government, no money in our rainy day fund. You look where we are now, we have $4.5 billion in our rainy day fund, put another $1 billion into savings account just for this deficit. So we are in fantastic financial shape. They have reduced our taxes. The plan is to continue to reduce them down. So quite honestly, the plan is already to reduce. So it's not like it's a Neil Jackson plan. The plan already is to get rid of the income tax in North Carolina. That is the Republican plan. I just tagged on to it and said, Neil Jackson buys into the Republican plan to get rid of the income tax plan. You got to get the tax anywhere. My deal is I don't like the income tax because I think it's socialism. This person has to pay the income tax, and this person doesn't because all of these loopholes, and I can get around this because I got the special accountant, and this would this loophole and that hole. If you have a sales tax, the drug dealers have to pay the sales tax, and everybody has to pay the sales tax, and we're already paying the sales tax. So you might have to raise it 1 cent, but you don't have to pay income tax.
Amen. Love it. And but realistically, in your opinion, that change probably will not take place until there's a change in the governor's mansion, correct?
It probably wouldn't take place for 10 years.
Okay. All right. But there is a plan and is slowly going to be implemented.
Right now, the income tax rate, it was 5.25%. It's been lowered to 3.99%. The plan is just to keep lowering that. They're not going to increase the sales tax. The plan is just to keep phasing that out, keep dropping it like 0.25%, 0.5%. And just what they have done amazingly well is restrain spending.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we can continue to restrain spending. We'll see if they still have the fiscal discipline to hold on to spending. Hopefully, they can.
Yeah. I would say that we need help with infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's – I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of construction. I mean, I was just in Raleigh this past week, and I was like, oh, my goodness. In Fayetteville, there's a lot of infrastructure going on. But more specifically, Moore County, people are moving in by the droves, and it is getting to be unbearable with traffic. You know, and so infrastructure is going to have to be addressed in that Pinehurst area. It's going to have to be addressed eventually. I don't know if that's one of the topics to talk about or not, but, you know, infrastructure is important. And I think that Moore County, the amount of automobile accidents as of late, there's just a lot of things that's really pointing to, you know, this growth of population. Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm going off fuzzy numbers because I don't have it in front of me. I want to say that we did a census as a church a few years back, and we were thinking about how many people lived in Moore County, and it was roughly about 99,000. It's been a few years back, and I think the last numbers I just heard was roughly 104,000. So we've seen an increase of 5,000 people, and I know there's more coming. You know, what does that look like for our area in the future? Is there what do you think needs to take place there in order to help with the infrastructure?
So, great question. Just address that to our church. With Toyota, and I don't want to say too much here, mm-hmm. with Toyota coming to Liberty, the jobs that they are bringing, even some of the announcements that they haven't made, the new chip manufacturing, which I think is fantastic, uh-huh. that they are not manufacturing microchips in China. Mm-hmm. They're bringing them to Ramsour and Siler City.
Absolutely.
And doing microchips. The whole VinFast, where they're manufacturing vehicles in Moncur. One of our businesses told me just the request that they've had for businesses to relocate here to Moore and Randolph County. has been more than 25, and this is a utility company, more than 25 companies have sent requests to relocate to Randolph and Moore County.
Wow. Huge.
And so what that's going to mean is Faith Baptist Church needs to prepare because a lot of people are going to be moving right. to Moore and Randolph right. County. And they're going to be looking for a church.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
And Faith Baptist Church better have seats for these people because they're going to be moving here and they're going to have kids and they're mm-hmm. going to be looking for some place to take their kids and they're going to need Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Adobe Beulah.
Get ready.
Get ready.
We got to do it. And one of the committees, I've already requested my committee assignments, pending if the Lord were to so choose that I were to get elected. I was like, hey, guys, if I were to get elected, these would be my requests for committee assignments. And one of the ones I asked for is transportation. So there are huge situations that we need to do. What are we going to do with the traffic circle? They've already made a couple of proposals. The powers that be, they're looking at those proposals. What are you going to do with 15501? They've already acquired the land to expand that.
Mm-hmm.
But even outside of those two major things, they need a lot of growth. And a lot of right. that's going to be county commissioners and planning department. But still, the state's going to put in a lot of money to mm-hmm. help out with that. But you got a lot of water issues. You've got yeah. a lot of sewage issues. And there are plans. Just thank God for Nick Piserno and what he's doing.
Yeah.
They're already talking. Met last night, had conversations with Mayor of Robbins. They're in serious discussions with Robbins and helping Robbins doing some things with water and sewage because Robbins has a lot of capacity that they could help sewage out and do some things with Seven Lakes. And
yeah.
so there are some serious conversations Good. Going on that could help out the whole county
right.
with some of these issues.
That's encouraging to hear.
So yeah. good things are happening.
Right.
But I don't think anybody understands the amount of growth that's getting ready to come here. And the south end of the county is full. But our beloved north end of the county is getting ready to get hit, and it's going to change drastically fast. And we gotta grow smart and wise.
I was going to say, we're not ready for it, are we? Yeah, yeah. So, you know, matter of fact, I just had a conversation with these guys last week. You know, it's one thing to pray for the rain. It's another thing to be prepared for when it comes. It's one thing, it's one thing to pray for new people, but are you ready for them? Can you minister to them? It's one thing to pray, pray for more kids, but are you prepared? Are you ready to minister to more kids? And so that goes to a whole nother level when you look at community-wise. You know, it's, this is a great opportunity for people to be reached with Jesus. It's a great opportunity, especially for the northern end of the county who so desperately needs some revitalization and is working that way, but it's just a slow process. This is going to hit the fast-forward button. So, you know, hopefully they're ready for it, right? And I guess the time will tell, right?
Ready or not, here I go.
Amen. Oh, my goodness.
And as we're coming to the end of the podcast, there's one more question I'd like to pose to you. And that question is, if I'm an undecided voter that's listening in right now, how would you address me as a potential voter to vote not only for Neil Jackson for North Carolina legislature, but to vote for a conservative candidate?
If you're an undecided voter, my word for you in how to vote for Neil Jackson, said to a lot of people, you won't always agree with my votes. And probably when I look back on my votes in hindsight, I'm sure I won't even agree with all of my votes. I have no political aspirations. The whole reason I'm running for office is the welfare of Moore and Randolph County.
Mm.
And so Neil Jackson being beholden to special interest, my special interest one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's my special interest. So why should you vote for Neil Jackson? Because I want to do what's right.
I like it. Amen.
And at the end of the day, I got grandkids. I hope one day to have grandkids. I don't have grandkids. I have my kids, God bless them, they like their dogs more than they want to have babies. And I was born in Moore County. I was born at Pinehurst at Moore Regional. And I want my kids and my grandkids to have the Moore Regional and the Moore County that I did.
Amen.
And that's why I'm running for office. And that's it. I don't want to run for governor. I don't want to go to Washington, D.C. I don't like Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And period. I was at an event last night, and my opponent was there. He's been beating me up pretty bad over LGBT issues. And it was a Charlie Kirk event, and 99.9% conservative Republican. And the guy came up and asked Charlie Kurt a question. And afterwards, I went up to him and I said, "Hey, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Neil Jackson." And obviously, he knew who I was. I said, "After this is all over, if you win," I said, "I'd love to take you out to eat, just share my thoughts with you about the district." And I say, "If you win, if I win, I'd love to hear your thoughts about the district." I said, "But know this, I haven't said one word bad about you, and I won't say anything bad about you." I said, "But know this, I really, really, really admire you a lot." I said, "To come into an environment like this took a lot of guts." And I said, "To walk up to Charlie Kirk, who is a smart dude, and to ask a question in front of all of these people," I was like, and to challenge him on one of the, he challenged him on CRT. I said, "A challenge?" I was like, "I don't think I would have the backbone to do that." I was like, "I really admire you for doing that." And that's just me. I think we could find good in everybody. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican or if you're an independent. I mean, you look at Jesus, he could deal with the Nicodemuses, the rulers of the Jews, and the next day he was dealing with the woman at the well. And I think we need a whole lot more of that in politics.
I agree.
So I don't care if you are the transgender or the LGBT person or the religious ruler. We all are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm here to help everybody.
Amen.
Well put.
The ground's level with the foot of the cross.
Amen. And I would be negligent if I didn't say if we had more individuals, not just candidates, but individuals like yourself that would put in the time and the effort that you have to run for local office, I think not only would our state, but our nation would be better off than what it is right now. And we just thank you for taking your stand here today. But before I let you go and we end the podcast, Pastor Joe has a question for you.
Yeah. Hey, brother. I've been pretty silent this entire podcast.
And I tell noticed you, that. I didn't know if they didn't let you speak or what the deal was.
Well, we're down a mic here tonight, and I tell you, it's been such a privilege to be but a fly on the wall and just listen to your passion. And the Bible tells us that iron sharpeneth iron. And I tell you what, I don't think there's a dull blade around. Amen. Amen, brother. Whether here at the table or listening out there in the radio world, and listen, I'm fired up. Just to hear you speak on these topics, just it does so much for the flame that God has already put in my soul for the passion of Jesus Christ. And what I want to know is how can we specifically pray for you How can we pray for you in a way that would allow us to stand before God one day and say that we had a small part in what he's doing in your life?
You've heard the saying, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I don't know. And so where I'm going, I have no idea. And I've tried to go up there, and people say, why are you going up there so much? I want to know the fist fight that I'm getting ready to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind. I don't mind getting strung up. But I would like to know a little bit what I'm walking into. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I've been meeting with everybody, asking a whole lot of questions. If I get burned at the stake, I get burned at the stake. I don't mind dying for Christ. I really don't. I know where I'm going.
Right.
And so it doesn't bother me. I just don't. God knows my heart. I don't want to hurt the cause of Christ. And when you're going into a environment that is ruined a lot of people, I don't want to harm the cause of Christ. So I'm coming home every night.
Hedge of protection.
Yeah, pray a hedge of protection. People say, why are you coming home every night? I was like, because I don't want to stay up in there in that environment. Like an hour and 10. I get up early anyway. I'm at 4 o'clock every day. I'm up. I was like, I could drive up there and drive home at night. And it's more miles on my car, but I want to be with my wife and kids every night.
Amen.
Pray for just safety. Pray for protection. Pray for accountability. Pray that God keeps my mind and my heart pure.
Amen.
Pray for my church. Our church is doing great.
Yeah.
But still, 6 months out of the year, I want to be in Raleigh 2 and 3 days a week.
Right.
Marriage is great, but 6 months out of the year, I want to be in Raleigh 2 and 3 days
a week. Yeah, well understood. Absolutely. Again, I said it earlier, everything comes at a cost.
Yeah.
And so, I can promise you this, Faith Baptist Church will be lifting you up in prayer.
Yeah,
amen.
We'll definitely be doing that. Not only you, but your family and Beulah, right? I don't think anybody knows what to expect walking into what you're getting ready to walk into. But I agree. I think that whenever, I remember as a kid, I loved basketball, right? I just loved it. Right. I played everywhere I could play. There was a couple places that I just didn't show up to play until I scouted it out because it was a little different environment. And so I went and watched a few times before I showed up to play because I needed to know what to expect. And so I admire that. I think that's being prepared to get ready to fight the battle you're getting ready to fight because you know as well as I do. You will be the poster child for conservatism. I mean, it just is what it is because you're going to stand on the hard. You're going to stand on the hard line of not compromising on the biblical values in which, you've committed to God, and people are not going to like that. So they're going to try to find any way they can to discredit you. That's the name of the game. But I guarantee you this much, we'll come together and we're going to be praying that the Lord would put a hedge of protection around you and the family. I know it's already been challenging. I know that you've already had some attacks already, and I know there's probably more to come. But you know what? I believe that God wouldn't have called you to it if he wasn't going to sustain you through it. And I think that I think the best days for Neil Jackson still ahead.
Amen.
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 And to wrap things up, Doc, you know, last week we delved into end times prophecy, and your church for the past couple of years has taken on a wonderful ministry that we look forward to here at Faith, and I'm sure others around the area look forward to, and it's called Tribulation Trail.
Yeah, we're going Friday night.
Yeah, we're going this Friday night. Talk a little bit about that. Give the dates on that, the prices, all that. Just tell the folks about that ministry.
Tribulation Trails, drive through. It's 8 scenes on a trailer. Trailer seats 40 people. We expanded the trailer, and there's 8 scenes through a pasture that depict the Book of Revelation. And it's because I want to show people, give them a glimpse of what's to come in what I believe is not the too far off distance.
That's right.
Amen.
And I believe I mean, for once, I believe something, the same thing President Biden does. Armageddon has never been so close.
That's right. Yes.
Very, very,
I believe
very,
we're on top close. Of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so starts off with the rapture and then goes into all of the four horses and mm-hmm. eight scenes. And we had 940 people come through this past weekend. We had
wow.
43 people either saved or assurance of salvation. And we have more people signed up this weekend
yeah.
than last weekend.
Yeah, I think, how many are we bringing, Brother Joe?
Just shy of 40.
40, yeah. That's yeah. incredible. Yeah, so yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Amen, yeah. amen. And that's happening Friday night and Saturday night. This coming Friday night is and Friday. And what time does it start?
7 to whenever we're done.
Okay, and $5 is the price.
$5 if you don't have any money, just come anyway. We'll let you through.
Amen, yeah. amen, amen. Well, Doc, it has been a pleasure. And again, you've got my vote. I know you got the votes of the guys around this table.
That's right.
And we'll be praying for you and just looking forward to how God is going to use you in Raleigh in the coming years. But we want to thank you, our listeners, for giving us a few minutes of your time today. We pray that you have been blessed and encouraged by today's broadcast. Join us next week for more Ministry Focus with Chad Nall. Until then, may the Lord bless you abundantly. So long for now.